This is an orally streamed interview with Dr. Luc Chevalier. We're at his offices in Belleville, and today it is the 20th of August, 2010. So, how did you get involved in Marianne Island specifically?
I'm from French origin, and I study in France, and my specialty is volcanology. Mm-hmm. I work on volcanoes. So I work on Réunion Island, and I work on Mauritius, and I work on Hawaii. And I worked on other volcanoes like Crozet, Kerguelen.
So you've been to the Sub-Antarctic Islands before you went to Marianne?
That's right. And I became a specialist in what we call oceanic volcanoes, all the volcanoes that are in the ocean. And in order to do my, what we call the DSC in France, it's a degree above the PhD, I wanted to complete my study with a South African island. So I start in Indian Ocean with France, and I had to go all around South Africa to go to Marion, to go to Prince Edward. I wanted to go to Gough, I wanted to go to Tristan da Cunha. All these islands were controlled, by South Africa.
Yeah, but
in order to carry on with my interest and my research, I applied on the South African project, which was at the time run by South African Committee for Antarctic Research, for a two-year contract at Stellenbosch to work on Marianne Island. Arrived in 1983 for a two-year period, and I went down to Marianne for 9 months in 93. So it's September 93 and came back in 1983, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, my mistake. 1983. And came back in 1984 after 9 months. I went back again at the next season and again and again. And I went to Gough and Tristan da Cunha. That's how it happened. So it was to complete my studies on what we call intra-oceanic volcanoes.
Okay.
And after a while, I decided to stay because it was a nice geology for me in South Africa. And I think I saw the potential of Southern Africa. That's all.
So before you went to Marianne, you've been to Kerguelen and Crozet.
That's right, yes.
The research communities there, are they different than the one for Marianne?
Yes, to some extent. Kerguelen is a big base. Mm. Big base, about 200 people. Mm. It's like a little town.
Okay.
It's quite different. And also, it's a big island. It's about 300-400 kilometers long. Crozet is very similar to Marianne, and they are very close to each other. To such an extent that at the moment, you know, each island tried to establish the economical zone around the island, which is 300 miles. But if you put Crozet and Marianne together, the 300 miles touch each other. So at the moment, it's not that they're separate, they just touch each other, so you have to draw the line. They're very close to each other. So Marianne is very close to Crozet, and the same team, about 8 or 10 people. Same ambiance, same work, basically weather, stratosphere, the atmosphere, that kind of work, and geophysics. Gough is controlled by South Africa, as you know. It's Norwegian, but controlled by South Africa. Also the same team, 8 people on Gough. Tristan da Cunha is just, sort of deliver goods in Tristan da Cunha. I don't think we got any team.
No. Except the people who live there, of course.
The people are British there.
Yeah, the people are British. How long did you stay on Crozet for?
Crozet, I can't remember, it was in 81. It was for 6 months, I think.
Mm.
Yes. 6 months on Crozet. Kerguelen was very short. Kerguelen was about a month. I also went to an island called Simpel in Amsterdam, where they used to have a crayfish factory there. And just for a short while. And all these islands do have sort of strange domestic animals. Amsterdam is well known for cows.
Oh, cows.
Cows, wild cows, yes. Okay. Kerguelen is well known for rabbits and goats.
Okay.
Crozet's got rats and mice, and also a few goats as well, yes. And Marianne was very famous for cats, as you know. And when I did my first trip to Marion, the mammalogists were quite busy trying to eliminate the cats. As you know, they tried different methods, tried to trap them, to poison them. But at the end, the only way was to shoot them at night.
So they were already busy shooting the cats when you were...
It was a tough job for them. They were going out in the cold at night with a gun to shoot them at night, because at any time you can see the eyes. And now there aren't any cats. It's terrible than how man can actually make such a mistake. Marion was occupied by South Africa in 1948. In those days, there weren't many ecologists around. And of course, when you go to an island, you bring rats. So the first idea, and mice. The first idea, you've got mice, therefore you bring cats. I mean, it's the first reaction, which was the wrong one. Because the mice don't go out, they stay around the base. I mean, they don't bother. It's not a threat for the island too much. And therefore, 20 years later, the cats were all around. And the cat didn't go for the mice, they went for the birds. So a wrong ecological decision.
Did you see any of the wild cats when you
were there? Yes, I saw a few of them. Difficult to see during the day, but I saw some of them. They looked like normal cats. Very wild, yes. You can't approach them. So when people knew about cat hunters, they say, oh, shame. But you had no choice.
Yeah.
No choice. Like Prince Edward is very well protected. No cats, nothing. And I believe Marion and Prince Edward have become a kingdom for something, isn't it? A world heritage, you know?
Yeah, they've applied, yes. Yeah, what the status is.
I think enough effort involved in the application as well, to be a world heritage. Prince Edward definitely qualified. When we went to Prince Edward, we had to clean everything, the boots, everything, the box, check for everything.
So did you also study all the volcanoes on Prince Edward? Well, it's volcanic islands.
Most of them are volcanic islands, so they are volcanoes, yes. It's an active volcano on Marion, and on Prince Edward as well, I suppose. We haven't seen an eruption since 81, but it is active, yes.
So do you think the Marion volcano is that still active?
Yes, of course, yeah, of course. It's the only active volcano in South Africa, you know that.
So what happened there? How did they decide? So it erupted in 1981, so only then did they decide to bring down a volcanologist?
Yes, that's right. It was mapped by Wilhelm Verwoerd in 1966. Mm-hmm. It was the first scientific expedition. There was an ornithologist, geologist, some specialist in plants, yes, mammalogist, and ornithologist. And after the eruption in 1981, they decided to study the island from the volcanological viewpoint. And since I was... The Antarctic community, we know each other, so I applied to go down, and it was approved, accepted, yes. So I spent about 8 years working on Marion Island. Eight years.
So this is the 1980s, and you're coming from outside, not outside, I mean it's the Antarctic community, but how did you perceive South African scientists? And science.
In general,
yeah, the base life, the way people interacted with one another in this community.
On Marion, you mean?
On Marion, yeah.
Oh, yes, I think it was very good. Definitely very good. Very, very, very good. It used to be a place for men, huh? for a long time. Because people had the concept that male and female wouldn't work. It was some sort of an idea that it wouldn't work, huh? Therefore, it had to be only one type of one gender.
Yeah.
And people on Marion were very rough before the lady arrived. I don't know if you ever saw a film when they were coming back on the ship with big beer. The day the lady arrived, instead of fighting as people would have thought, everyone actually changed and became more actually gentlemen. It's amazing. Yeah,
it is.
But it was completely the reverse. And now I think it's quite mixed.
It's now all genders and faces and races and everything.
It's The difference between the two teams is that on Marion, between French and South Africa, French is got more senior people on the island.
Mm.
The team leader on the French island will be someone quite senior, very senior, and there will be two or three senior people. On Marion, when I went there, it was 8 young guys. I mean, it was quite surprising that 8 people. One of the chaps were about 20 years old, or 18. I mean, nothing wrong with that. But I mean, to be in charge of a base, it was a surprise for me, and it worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite surprised how well it worked. I always thought that you need some seniority to run an island, but not didn't.
It seems not.
Yeah. So it was very good. So there's a difference between French and South Africa, and I must say they did very well.
Mm.
We all did very, very, very well. Very well run, very responsible people.
Mm.
And the scientists are very good. I mean, you can imagine South Africa is very well known in terms of Antarctic research.
Mm.
No doubt about it. So, I don't have anything to add with that. Very competitive research.
Mm.
Very good.
And you only went with the Agalas, or did you also go on the Marion Dufresne?
I went to the Marion Dufresne, yes, at the beginning, yes. And after, to go to Marion, I went on the SA Agalas.
Okay.
Yes. And, that's the only two boats that I took. I never went to Antarctica. I never took any German boat or Russian boat. It's only the two boats that I know. And they're very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. Strict rules on the boat. So it's nice. I enjoyed it.
Because the Marion Dufresne, Marion Island was obviously named after Marion Dufresne.
That's right, yes. Mm. That's right. What was it before South Africa annexed it in 1948? I'm not quite sure.
No, I'm not quite sure either.
Which the island belongs to?
In Britain, but it's...
You think so?
No, it's definitely Britain. It belonged to Britain, but they knew that if somebody challenged them to court on who the island belongs to, they wouldn't really last. So it didn't really belong to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But Britain has given out licenses for sealers, etc.
Okay. Yes, all right.
So that's why they had to have South Africa annex it and plant a flag
to ensure
that it is legitimate.
That's legitimate. That was the first mission when the first Mars came to the island. That's good. You see, you teach me something.
So describe what you did on the island. I mean, what do you do from a day-to-day basis on the island as a volcanologist?
I did a lot of mapping, first of all. The map that was done by Vervoet was very good, but we went down to give more details, to map in more detail the different flows. Volcanologists will try to evaluate the age of the different flows to see what was the eruptive history of the island. How often did it erupt? How long were the eruptions? What volume of lava was emitted? To have a record of the history of the volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's called eruptive dynamics study. So you study the type of eruption that happened, and you, in order to evaluate the risk for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you sample the lava to analyze it, or the hard rock. The rock is not melted anymore, it's harder. You map it, you analyze it to see what is the composition and the evolution of the island.
So you walk around a lot?
Oh,
well,
of course, it's field work. It's many field work. We are in the field for about, I would say, a week or two at a time.
Mm.
So a typical journey would be that you prepare your package with your food, because we go from hut to hut, but there were at the time 6 huts on the island. So I would be going with an assistant. I would package our food and all our supply, and including a block of frozen meat in the back that you keep all along, along the trip, and to get defrost as you chop it. And you go from hut to hut, spend three time in a hut there, go there, another one, another one, another one, another one, another one. Come back to the base for a shower and a bit of relaxation. And the next week, again, you go again. You don't have to go around, but you can go to a hut and come back and have different type of trips. Okay.
So it can be quite dangerous work.
Dangerous because it can be dangerous because the terrain is very rugged, excessively rugged. It can be dangerous because if you break a leg, if you don't have an assistant, it was forbidden to go alone. You always have to have an assistant. But it happened that you can get lost in a mist.
Yeah.
And the mist is very misleading. Very misleading. You can't get your bearing right, and you can get lost. And if you get lost, something bad happened to you. It can be quite drastic because to spend one night outside, I've done it once. It's terrible. That's terrible. It's really you could die. I know that we lost people in Gough Island. That's also a dangerous island as well. So one should be careful in the field there. It's not, and the radio doesn't work everywhere.
Yeah, yes.
You can have the radio, but sometimes you have to climb on the hill to reach the base. So it's not always working nice. Mm.
So you said you spent one night outside. Was that in a tent, or were you lost?
No, I was not lost. I misjudged the time that I needed to join the base. I went to the plateau. When there was an ice cap at the time, you know, the ice has disappeared.
Yeah.
So I went to the ice to look at some rock there that was outcropping. And when you're in the field, you take in every opportunity to complete your work as much as you can. So you say, okay, I must go, I must go, I must go. But you stop and you see something, and you stop and you start writing. And you say, oh, I'm here, I mustn't stop. Okay, and the time goes, okay, I must go now. And you see something else.
Okay, just quickly.
I don't want to climb again. Hey, okay. And it caught me, and it was basically dark, and I was far from the hut. And here we are. I didn't take any equipment with me. I had clothing, of course. But I was not equipped to spend a night. So what I did, I dug a hole in the scoria. You know, it's a good loose scoria. I dug a hole in the scoria. I took my bit of plastic bag that I've got in a... Because everything is a plastic bag in a rucksack. And I slept in the rock, you see. And I put a ground around me in order not to be frozen in the morning. So I got up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, not too well, and it rained that night. It rained. It rained.
You didn't sleep much?
Not much. But finally, I made it, it's all right.
Okay.
After a while, you just realize that how lucky you are. But at the time, you're not. I didn't think much about it at the time. You see, that's fine, no problem.
But you were glad of fresh food when you come back.
Yes, of course. Fresh food and a drink and coffee, hot coffee. Okay. Hot coffee is a main thing. Got nothing to. I didn't bring anything to cook. No, nothing. So it was quite a plastic. But that's fine. As a geologist, you're used to it. It's not a problem.
Mm.
And other scientists are used to that kind of hard life as well. If it happened once or twice, okay.
Okay. So what would be the challenges of field work on a sub-Antarctic island?
The challenge of field work is, in terms of scientific challenge or physical challenge. The physical challenge is there. I mean, it's very, you have to be really fit to work on Marin Island. I mean, you just walk all day for 8 hours every day on very rugged terrain, and you have to climb high hills. So it's quite a demanding work, scientifically as well. Scientifically, you've got a lot of rocks that you have to map. The weather is a challenge as well. The weather is a big challenge for a geologist. You don't see what you're supposed to see. It's terrible. Sometimes it's just wind and fog and rain and snow, so you see nothing. I mean, that's a big challenge. You have to stay in a hut and wait for the sky to clear.
Yeah, then.
And you know, there in another type of ground, where they call it a soft ground, it's marsh. You can get stuck up to your up to your thigh and lose your gamboots. You know about the story, yeah?
No.
We walk with gamboots, huh? That's the boots that we use because it's full of marsh, a lot of marsh. Now, if you get dropped in that marsh too deep, of course your gamboot stays behind.
Yeah.
And you just remove your foot with your socks, huh? It makes and finish.
And then the boot is gone.
Boot is gone.
Oh dear. And then you have to walk back in your socks.
You have to walk back in your socks, yes.
Oh, your feet must be freezing after that.
But anyway, that's for the little story. That's quite challenging. I like it, and everyone liked it as well. That's good. And the animals are not dangerous. The elephant seals are not dangerous if you can avoid them. Penguins are not dangerous. Albatross are not dangerous.
Squirrels.
Squirrels are a bit if you go close to
the
nest. Yes. So you know the story. You know about that.
Well, we've heard about people who go out with guns and then if they shoot and the squirrels attack, they sort of shoot the gun.
Oh no, they're very vicious, huh? Very vicious. You don't see them. They're very silent. Suddenly, a lot of birds. Beautiful life. It's amazing life. No, I think the danger doesn't come from animals. Come from the rugged terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Even the killer whales, the famous killer whales.
Mm.
I don't know if anyone told you, they used to come close to the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And one chap was very adventurous. One day, he just took a diving suit and just went to the shore. And the killer whale came and just bumped his side. But the killer whale was not interested in that piece of plastic. I mean, you know that suit that you wear? Something
plastic
disgusting.
Plastic
smell. They're not interested. Just amazing, that chap. But I mean, the killer whale didn't have much to move, but they were coming very close, very, very close.
Did he swim away?
No, he was standing. Oh yes, the killer whale swam away. Yes.
Mm.
What was the name of him? What was his name? I can't remember. He was quite a funny chap. We had a lot of special people on the island. And you know, you were allowed to. The Department of Transport would allow you to go only for 12 or 13 months.
Mm.
And some people liked it so much that they wanted to renew the contract. But it was not often approved that you would stay more than. Because people saw that. Because you must realize it's a lack of life. Huh?
Mm.
You understand? Huh? You've got no boss, got food, got no worries. Imagine a year without any worries. And you wake up in the morning, you've got no worries, nothing. No bank problem, no bond problem,
no
cure to stand in. Your friends or your girlfriend is away, but some of them do not have girlfriends, so no problem dating, no problem with money, no problem with the parents. No, it's amazing. And people get caught into it.
Mm.
Get caught to say, just a life I want to do, but it's a false life. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
It's not real.
No, maybe it's right, but it's not real. See, when you come back, that's a shower when you come back.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what do you experience after 9 months on the island when you come back?
The first thing is the sight of Cape Town on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's something. The first sight on the island in the morning when you go down,
mm-hmm.
because you go down for 5 days, you go through the roaring 40s, and if you're not a sailor, I can imagine, I mean, how rough the thing is. So after 5 days, you just wake up and you see the island. That's amazing. It's something out of this world. On the way back, after a year, it's basically to see Cape Town, the light of Cape Town in the evening. That you cannot reach because you're not allowed to moor at night, so you stay offshore,
yes.
And you see the light of Cape Town, and you're only allowed to go in the morning. So you hear everyone is on the boat looking at the light of Cape Town.
Lovely.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Quite an experience, I must say. I will always remember that other people were sort of very cheerful and happy when they see the light. But as I say, it's such an easy life.
Mm.
But you work hard. It's tough there, but the worries.
Mm.
The worries.
Your head isn't working that hard.
Yes, your body works.
Mm.
You think about your work, but no worries.
Nice.
I mean, it's amazing, huh?
Mm.
I mean, psychologically, it's very good. You just clean, eh?
Mm.
Clean everything. Eh?
Do you miss anything when you're on the island? What do you miss?
Yes, when you're married, of course, you think about your wife and kids, of course, and the first thing you. Because they have the worries.
Mm.
You don't, but they have to fix a car. They have to to attend all the problem. So, I don't know. I don't know what the people are missing when they're on the other side. I don't know. That's quite an interesting question. That I never had a feeling that the people were missing something.
Mm.
Strange, eh?
Mm.
Very strange. Did you ask a question to other people as well?
Yes. Some people say fresh fruit and vegetables.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, of course.
And some people say wives and children and so on. Yeah.
Yes, fresh vegetables. Mm. That's the first thing. But
and some of the men said just women in general.
Okay. yes, of course. That's fine. Yes, women in general, yes, okay. But I thought now it's mixed, so it would be...
is not so much a problem anymore.
No, no problem. At the time, yes. It was a...
Were there strict rules then about fresh food? Could you take food? Do you remember eating vegetables?
Yes, the rules were not very rules because at the end of the day you have to eat them as quick as you can because you can't keep them anyway. So we would... I don't know if there were rules. In other words, access to the fresh fruit or limited the amount. No, I don't think there were any rules.
Can you remember eating chickens with bone in them?
Chicken with bones. I mean, did we have full chickens, you mean? In the fridge, you mean? That's what you're asking?
Yeah, full chickens.
Full chickens.
Yeah.
Because these days they don't send chicken with bones anymore.
Yes, I think so. Oh, we got T-bones with bones, I think. We had our meat.
Well, you can't have a T-bone without a T-bone.
Okay.
It sounds like you ate a lot of meat.
Oh, yes. It was a special fridge for meat. So at the beginning, you got yogurts. When the ship arrived, you got your yogurt. And so your fruits is gone. After the potatoes and the carrots. And after you start digging in the frozen stuff. And after it's meat.
What did you do when you did not work or go out to the field? Did you sometimes just take time off to relax?
Yes. First, when I'm back, you have to compile your map and your data.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the field, there is no facilities. Huh? So therefore, I would do some office work and sort out my samples and work on the maps, but also to relax. Relax means to sit in the library and read a book, listen to music, watch a video.
Can you remember some of the films you watched? Just for interest sake.
No. I know one was very popular, is that a South African comic, Afrikaans.
Yes.
He lived in Darling there. Peter Derkes.
Mm.
I know that one. For me, it was quite new. I didn't know the comics in South Africa. And at the time, Peter Derkes in 83 was very popular.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure nowadays, but 83, he was at the top of his... And it was the top of President Botha as well.
Yes.
So he was famous for...
his figure.
Okay. For me, it was quite new. And say, but what is he doing? It's President Botha. Oh, no. That's where I learned the whole politics story. Okay. But, what film? No, there were.
But it would generally be sort of just American films.
Yes, American films.
Yeah.
I don't think the South African industry was so strong in '83, in the '80s, in terms of films.
It was never strong.
No, I mean, it's Yes. Before we came to South Africa, it was a film that was shown in France in 82. It was God Must Be Crazy.
Yes. It made
such a thing in France because first time nothing was fresh. Mm. When you look at it now after 20 years, you look, it's a bit weaker. No, not too weak, but I mean it's...
Yeah, that's not what you mean.
But it's nice, it's so fresh, yeah. So natural. Mm. And the first time that people saw South Africa and the crazy, not the craziness, but the contrast between people driving in town and having people living in the bush, mm-hmm. 1,000 kilometers. For European people, they never knew that you could have two types of people coexisting. So, yes, I knew about South African industry film before I came. It's an only film that I knew. But an island, I can't remember. America, yes, American film, yes.
The majority of South Africans were Afrikaans,
yes,
or English?
Afrikaans, yes.
So did you learn some Afrikaans?
Yes, I learned some Afrikaans, yes. Yeah. We learned Afrikaans. Yes, Afrikaans. Always. Everyone was bilingual.
Yeah.
Everyone was bilingual. But some people were more bilingual than others. but the mother tongue was Afrikaans, I think, for, I would say, 60-70%. But maybe I'm wrong. But it's. But anyway, we all spoke English, Afrikaans. Mm.
So. Were you the only person from overseas? The only foreigner? Mm.
No, there was a chap from UK, an ornithologist, when I went there. And after, there were other people coming from other countries. I went there five times. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Just to take over every time? Ooh.
No, for the summer season.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I did two summer and takeovers.
Oh, okay.
The summer is 9 months. Huh? You know, it's between September to April. Mm. The takeover is about 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
No,
it's just a month.
Just a month now? Mm. Okay. Because takeover was also used to do oceanographic work. The boat would come to the island, go for oceanography with Anton Leroux from Department of Geology in UCT was in charge of the oceanographic work and magnetic work. So it would take about a month or two for a cruise in the ocean and come back.
So the first summer expedition you did was in 1983 and then again?
I came back in 1984. I went back in 1985. Came back in 1986. Went back to Gough in 1987. Go back to Marion in 1988 for a takeover. It's four times, I think. Four times.
Hmm. So the second summer, was that different
shorter
from the first summer?
No, it was shorter. Same people. Not same people, but same team. Huh?
Same.
The team didn't grow too much. I'm not quite sure how big is a team nowadays.
Oh, about 16 to 20, depends.
A permanent winter team?
15, 20.
Yeah, maybe something between 10 and 15.
It depends on
but
how
the core team is still 8.
No, the core team has grown.
Core team has definitely grown.
Yes.
No, there's many biologists now who's here for the year.
Mm.
Many scientists stay for the whole year.
Is that so?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so there you have ornithologists who also stay for the year.
For a year, okay.
Last year there were four seeders, four people.
Mammalogists?
Mammalogists, yeah. Stayed for the year.
So it's quite a big team.
It depends on the amount of funding available, but if they could find the scientists for a year, if you can find private funding, it's fine.
Okay,
yeah, because then I also have the new base, so it's...
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, so it's quite large as well.
At the time, in 83, the mammalogist, the man in charge was Martin...
Martin Bester?
Bester, yes. He's in charge of the zoo now.
No, he's still at zoology at Pretoria University.
We had an ecologist who was Quinton Kotzier. You know Quinton Kotzier? Mm-hmm. From 50-50, no?
Oh, okay.
He's in charge of 50 Afrikaans chap, Quinton Kotzier.
Were you also on the island of Stephen John?
Yes, I think so. It's the same year, yes. Yes, came down for the same year. Not for the summer, he came down for a takeover, yes.
Mm. And at that time, did you still, during takeovers, did they bring religious person, like a priest or
Do you take over? Yes, a religious person, yes. A priest, yes. I remember that. And they had church every Sunday. Was a priest for counseling, yes. Yes.
Do they also have church services on Krause and Kerguelen?
Yes. Yes, but also during takeover. Not during, not permanent, not a... Maybe in Kerguelen there might be a permanent priest, yes. Possible.
Possible. And who did you work with closely? Who did you go out on the expeditions with?
My assistant, yes. Yeah. Not an assistant, the person I would go with. Would go with ornithologist, of course, because the scientists didn't have any duty at the base, so scientists could walk around. The weather bureau, the people from the weather bureau had a bit of constraint because they had to release the balloon every day, they have to record every day. The doctor couldn't go away too long. The diesel mech, we were a bit worried when... The diesel mechanic, we were a bit worried if he would go for a week, but otherwise I would go with ornithologist, mammalogist.
Who was your assistant?
Oh, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, my memory is very poor. I have to dig back all my photos. And
okay,
he was a chap, a South African chap, yes. I had two or three. They were people, assistants, when people not necessarily scientists or young students. They were just people.
Field assistants.
Yes, field assistants. They would apply. They would have seen an advert in a newspaper or on the TV that they're looking for assistants. They would apply and they would go. I mean,
okay, so they weren't necessarily
trained.
No trained.
So what would you have them do? Carry them?
Carry the rock, yes, and show them around as well and ask them to break the rock. And to carry the rock as well, and that's all, yes. But it was nice, it was, and I taught them the geology, so they were very happy. And after that, I know that my assistant stayed over for the next 3 months, helping an ornithologist and a mammalogist, so they were helping everyone.
So you liked that?
Yes,
yes. Cat hunters, did you meet any cat hunters?
Yes, Martin was in charge of the team, I think, at one stage. Yes, I met them, We, I can't remember their name, but there were 8 of them for 3 seasons. So I never went out at night because I was working all the day on the field, so I never went out. So once I went at night with them, yes, around the base. Didn't see any cat at the time.
And the cat hunters, when they came back to base, did they come and have a little party? Or?
Oh, yes, it was quite, I mean, it's really... Really tough. It was. I don't want to say they were a group apart, but they liked to get together and to show that they were. I think they wanted to show they were tough. I think they were tough. I mean, can you imagine for 8 months of your life going out at night in Marion to shoot cats?
Yes.
No, it was rough. Yes, yes, yes. And they liked to show it as well.
But how much did you interact with them? Or not.
Oh no, we interact because they were all mammalogists as well. I think most of them were students in mammalogy.
Okay.
I think so. And they were hunters as well at the same time. There were some.
Where did they keep their guns?
I think there was a store for the guns to be kept. Yes, and it was quite nicely controlled, if I remember. Yes, they had a separate sort of the. Well, sort of accommodated in a special hut on the island next to the base, but because they used to party a lot, so
mostly they got their own rooms.
Yes, yes.
And when they party, did they play music?
Yes, lots of music. Yes.
Did you learn Afrikaans music?
Yes, yes, yes. No, of course it was Afrikaans music, and I'm not quite sure what was Afrikaans music that was at the time. What was a popular singer at the time?
I can only guess.
I wouldn't know.
I don't. Kerkerel was not at the time.
Kerkerel.
No, maybe at the time. No, maybe it's too old.
Anton Goosen.
Anton Goosen, yeah. And chap from Stellenbosch with a big beard and a beret.
I was convinced. Rainer Wickham.
Rainer Wickham, yes. Well, Rainer Wickham, yes. What are you laughing?
I saw him walk past yesterday.
Did you so?
Yes,
yeah, we saw him in Stellenbosch, still wears his bandana.
And who was it? Stevie, I think Steve.
Steve
Of Meyer, I think. I don't know. Lorica, I think.
Lorica Rach.
Yeah, Lorica was a singer. No, I can't remember. No, it's just it's a bit filling away my mind.
Is that a long
you know all of them?
No.
That's long before your time.
It's before my time. But in what way would you say Marion Island and Crows Island and Kerguelen, they're all very small islands in what most people in the public would call the middle of nowhere. It's not really the middle of nowhere, but...
No, it is. Very remote.
It's very remote. But in what way are islands like those important for science?
Yes, I think because they are isolated, definitely. Mm. The life on the island is isolated from the rest. And what is important is that we don't know how they got populated. The evolution is very important on the island. I know that's the basic of Darwin evolution, that life evolved on the island, which is that those islands are new, they're about 400,000 to 500,000 years. They're very, very, very young. And what is interesting is how the life have colonized an island so quickly, so quickly over a few hundred thousand years. Birds, mammal, and the vegetation. I mean, it's quite amazing. Mm. That's very important from that viewpoint. From the volcanologic viewpoint, of course, it's very important to study such a volcano. It's quite pristine. It's quite unique. It's also important for the sea life as well. At that time, there were no oceanologists. No one was looking at the sea at the time. I believe there might be people looking at the shore now, the fish or. They just started a fish study when I left in 1988, I think.
I think it's Grahamstown, Rhodes.
Yes, Rhodes, yes, looking at the fish. I don't know if there were a Timu looking at the killer whales, not at the time.
Observation.
And we have to observe on the thing, on the sighting, we have to put the sighting on the board every day, yes. Mm. Kilo well there, we have to show that thing. And it's an amazing island. I mean, just to walk by next to an albatross, it's an amazing bird. Amazing life.
Are there any albatrosses that breed on crows there?
Same birds, exactly the same bird, yes.
Did you ever, especially coming, being from another country, did the politics of South Africa ever come up as a discussion topic? Did you ever talk about it?
Coming from my side?
Yeah,
or coming from, well, yeah, because in those days...
in general conversation.
Yeah, just in conversation.
Yes. People ask me what the France think about South Africa. I mean, they ask me. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was the war in Angola. In 1983, so it was the major issue was a war between Angola and Southwest and South Africa. And I told them what the people knew about South Africa, but people, they heard about South Africa via the radio in France, but they were not quite sure what was going on there. They know that there was apartheid, they know that there were sort of embargo on South Africa, and they know there was a war with Angola. Mm. So we didn't discuss much politics on the island. I don't think politics has ever been a major issue on the island. Mm. I don't think so. Mm. If I remember, I don't know of any people fighting for politics.
Okay.
As far as I remember.
I don't know.
How did you get around? When the Agalis was there, did you sometimes get to fly
to the island
in helicopters around
On helicopters, yes. There were two Pumas, big helicopters, so we used to get dropped by helicopter. if we had to do a big mission, we would ask the helicopter to carry all the food on the spot, yes, and with the people.
Mm.
And we would jump out of the helicopter and take our food and be left there for weeks. One island that I went to, very few people went there, is called Inaccessible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if you heard of Inaccessible. It's next to Tristan da Cunha.
Yeah.
There is Tristan da Cunha, Inaccessible,
Nightingales.
And Nightingales.
Yeah.
They're very pristine. There is one type of bird living there, I mean, quite unique. And the word Inaccessible means that it is
inaccessible.
So the only way was to get dropped by helicopter on a small beach there. And after we had to climb the cliff to go and work on the plateau there.
Ooh.
Then we need a helicopter. Otherwise, by boat, it would be very rough.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very rough. Well, these islands are difficult. Bouvet, for instance. Bouvet is the most remote place on Earth.
Have you been to Bouvet?
No. I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. It's the most disgusting weather on Earth. Mm-hmm. The most remote place on Earth. You can't imagine. It's in the middle of the Atlantic, in the roaring 40s. It's always got ice cap, cloud, mist. It's just miserable. miserable. There is an automatic weather station there that South Africa used to operate. I'm not quite sure if it's the case. It's a Norwegian island with a hole with a strike on it, B-O. Mm. And I don't know who is in charge of that thing anymore.
I think it is still Norway, but it's still
but
very
but who operates it? Not a Norwegian.
No, there's no permanent science person at all. No. A couple of years ago, they had a summer sealing expedition there for 3 months.
Oh, okay.
But they used one of these big containers for that.
Mm. Mm.
And then just after they left, an avalanche took the whole container away. So apparently it's a really, really rough place.
I think it's the most difficult place on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the places, Siberia, you can go by foot. It will take you a year, but you will get there. Bouvet, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. Even a helicopter doesn't want to go there.
Okay. So the helicopter pilots were those military pilots?
Yes, military pilots, yeah.
Mm.
The helicopter belongs to transport.
Mm-hmm.
The pilots were from the military.
Were they good pilots?
Very good. Very nice. I know they were trained in France. I mean, they were very good.
Were they trained in France?
Because Puma is a French helicopter.
Okay.
Yes. Very good. We used to talk about France and how happy they were when they were training. No, I remember. So, you know another thing about when someone needs medical attention on Marion,
mm-hmm.
only way, if it's something serious, the only way was to send a corvette or an aviso from the army, one of those boats.
Mm.
It would take 2 days to sail down. Because we had one person who had a stroke, Graham something, 84, and they had to send a sort of a boat to take the person back. So it's quite serious, because on Marion you cannot do any type of surgical intervention. I mean, appendicitis you can't do serious stuff, I don't think so.
You can't do brain surgery.
No brain surgery, no stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Heart attack, I mean, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can do dentistry and basic
first aid.
A wound. I'm not quite sure if broken legs, they would send a boat straight away.
When you were back in South Africa, also from the other islands, do you sometimes miss the island?
Yes, you think about the people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're happy to be back, but you think about the new team there, what they're doing. Today, okay, they're waking up. But today, they launch the balloon. And of course. I say, oh yes, today there is someone in the field. They are next to the penguins. There. What are they doing? Are they getting up now today? They're cooking the food today. What must be called today? Oh, you know, you always think about it.
Would you ever go back if you have a strong?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I would go back. My work, I'm a bit far away now from. That type of work, but yes, I think I will go back.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Just to see the new base, of course, the new team. And also to go around the island to see if there was any sign of further volcanic activities since 1981.
Apparently there was some volcanic activity.
Yes, I heard about it, but the description is a bit vague.
Okay.
So vague. And we ask, phone John Cooper from Bernard Price and say, can you get something, not Bernard Price, from Fitzpatrick? Can you get more information? Because this was a very weird description. It looks like something, but to me it's not satisfactory. I mean, a lot of things are missing. So I would have to go back there.
Cool.
And have a look.
Yeah, John's in Cecil Gods, by the way. He's down there now. Oh, we know him quite well.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right. He also works on the project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You've got the 83 team, 84 team. Yeah. I mean, John Cooper, he's talking about that. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. He's now very into the conservation work. So he mostly goes down as conservation officer. When you walked around the island, because I suppose you've mostly been inland, but sometimes also the coast, did you see any historical artifacts like sealers' remains?
Yes, often.
Like what kind of things?
But the trout pot, big thing, where you melt the fat. There were quite a few of them. There were also caves dug into some of the volcanic.
So human-made caves?
Yes. Okay. They dug into the caves.
And were there things in these caves?
Yes, usually.
Like weapons?
Not hammers, bottles, green glass, blue glass, piece of iron, and picks, and piece of pots, yes.
Okay.
It was forbidden to remove anything at the time.
Okay. So there was legislation already?
I don't know if it's legislation, it was a rule.
Okay.
But I don't know if there was a legislation as such. But it was between us, it was forbidden to remove the thing.
And human remains? Did you see any human remains? Human femurs or bones or anything?
Not as I remember. We never. I don't think we ever encountered human remains, no?
Okay.
No.
Do you remember the mixed pickle hut?
Yes, a mixed pickle hut. Yes. Where was it now? Yes. I try to get my mind fresh memory
there. I can see a map of Marion.
Let me bring a map.